A relative only went to police this week when it became clear something was off.
Kind of like the Casey Anthony case we had in Florida several years ago, where it was the mother kept making excuses where the child was at before the family finally reported it.
She's been lying to all of us.
Welcome or welcome back. I'm Cassie and this is A Wicked World. The story I have for you today is one that happened pretty recently, and it's yet another case about a sweet little girl who went missing from her caregiver's home, and nobody knew about it for months. This is the story of Chloe Darnell. Chloe Isabella Nicole Darnell was born on March 9th, 2019, to her mother, Tammy Manriquez. Chloe had seven other siblings, and when she was born, she had actually been born in the middle of a driveway in Kentucky. She was said to be a bright, playful, and happy child. Chloe loved Minnie Mouse, baby dolls, and surprisingly, she really liked spooky things, too. It's said that Chloe was such a friendly little girl that she loved everyone she met. Now, Chloe's mother, Tammy, as well as her biological father, both had addiction problems. So Tammy's father, or Chloe's grandfather, had actually taken custody of her other siblings. He and Chloe's grandmother had been raising Tammy's children. However, his wife had recently passed away, and with him getting older now, a judge decided to give custody of baby Chloe to her cousin, 20-year-old Brittany Slaughter. Brittany and Chloe would live together in Williamsburg, Kentucky. Then in November of 2023, when Chloe was four, her family was unable to get a hold of her. They hadn't spoken to her in months, and they soon began to get worried. Anytime a family member tried to call and speak with Chloe or go to the house and see her, Brittany would always tell them that she was either sleeping, playing, at a birthday party, or something similar. She was never available. In fact, nobody had actually seen Chloe since August. Also at this time, Brittany's boyfriend, Adam Hayes, was living with her and Chloe, though it's unclear how long he had actually been living there for. On the night of November 14th, Chloe's 15-year-old big sister, Gabby, called their aunt, Jessica Gearhart, crying. She said that she had recently heard from Brittany's ex-boyfriend, Alex, some very disturbing information. Apparently, Brittany had confided in Alex and told him that about a month ago, she and her boyfriend Adam had woken up to see that the front door was open, and they had no idea where Chloe was. Nobody had seen her since. But neither Brittany or Adam reported her as missing. So that same night, Gabby, along with another aunt, would go over to the home where Brittany and Chloe were last known to be living. They knocked at the door. However, Adam was the one who answered. And when they asked to go inside, he refused. Nobody could get a hold of Brittany on her cell phone either, so nobody in the family had any idea where she or Chloe were at this point. Therefore, they went down to the police station to file a missing persons report. So at first, police would tell Brittany and Chloe's family that Brittany was an adult and she was allowed to leave whenever she wanted. However, when Chloe's Aunt Jessica told the police what Alex had said, that Chloe had gone missing over a month ago from Brittany and Adam's home, they said if Alex came in, they could then file a missing persons report, which is what they did. So the police put out an alert asking the public to keep an eye out for Brittany and Chloe. They also put in this alert that they needed help locating a 2009 red Mitsubishi Lancer. Even though this vehicle was not registered, it was reported to be the vehicle that Brittany might have been driving in with Chloe before they disappeared. The following day, November 15th, officers were able to locate the Mitsubishi Lancer, but there was no sign of Chloe or Brittany. The Whitley County Sheriff's Department also went out to Brittany's home located on Oval Lane in Williamsburg so that they could perform a welfare check. But it seemed like nobody was there. They knocked and there was no answer, so the search for Brittany and Chloe continued. A few hours later, however, shortly after 8 p.m., Chloe's Aunt Jessica received a phone call from Brittany. Up until that point, she had thought that Brittany was also missing and possibly in danger. But as soon as she began to speak to Brittany, she realized that was not the case. Brittany began telling Jessica that she was scared because the police had just been there. She was also crying heavily and it was difficult to hear her. But she did tell Jessica that she was currently in Corbin, and after that, the phone line disconnected. So Jessica immediately contacted the detective who was working on the case to let them know that she had just spoken with Brittany. She then gave them the phone number that Brittany had called her from, as well as the information in regards to Brittany's location. After Jessica hung up with the detective, it was only about 10 minutes until he called her back again, and he let her know that they had found Brittany, and she was unharmed. But no Chloe. Brittany had been hiding out in a home in Cumberland Falls, which is about 15 minutes northwest of where she lives in Williamsburg. Upon being discovered, she told the police that she was trying to not be found. Throughout the night, the area surrounding Brittany's trailer home, as well as the nearby woods, were searched for 4-year-old Chloe. Nothing would be found that night, but the next morning, November 16th, 2023, around 4:30 a.m., detectives would discover what they believed to be little Chloe's body, located in a makeshift grave inside the Daniel Boone National Forest, just outside Ridener Cemetery. Chloe's body had cuts and bruises all over it, and she was pretty decomposed. It looked like she had been dead for quite some time by this point. Due to this, her body was sent to the state medical examiner's office for an autopsy as well as positive identification. After Chloe's body was identified, the autopsy was performed. However, Chloe's official cause of death was still yet to be determined. The autopsy, however, did discover that Chloe had suffered fractures to her face, skull, and ribs. Some of her ribs were also separated. Her body has since been flown to Texas, where doctors are still trying to determine Chloe's cause of death, as well as when the fractures were inflicted upon her. This is so they can determine if the fractures were something that was done intentionally or not. On the same day that Chloe's body was found, 24-year-old Brittany Slaughter and her 34-year-old boyfriend, Adam Hayes, were placed under arrest. And at the time of the arrest, they told police that they were under the influence of both methamphetamine and marijuana. Each of them was then charged with murder, abuse of a corpse, and tampering with physical evidence. The couple was accused of collaborating to conceal Chloe Darnell's death. They were each held on a $500,000 bail. So Brittany had been the one to lead police to Chloe's body, and she told them her version of what had happened to the little girl. She said it was all an awful accident. Brittany said Chloe had died following a fall from a shelf in her room. While she didn't know exactly how wide or long the shelf was, she said it was approximately 5 feet off the floor. Brittany said the shelf in Chloe's room was one that she frequently would climb up on and jump off of. But this time it was fatal? It seems a bit drastic from something she always does and doesn't get hurt to something that she does one time again and dies? This incident had happened all the way back in August, so Chloe had been dead for about 3 months at this point. Brittany went on to tell police that she and Adam had performed CPR on Chloe for 6 to 10 hours. However, they never called for help because they were under the influence of drugs. And the reason why there's such a discrepancy in the hours, 6 to 10, for the CPR is because they kept changing their stories. Of course. Brittany also claims that she did not participate in digging the hole or burying Chloe. She did admit that she had picked out the spot, however, and then gone back to the car. Adam Hayes was interviewed 3 different times, and each time he would tell the detectives a different story about where he was when Chloe died. He also told the authorities that Chloe's death was an accident because she had fallen off of a shelf, and they never called anyone because they were high on drugs. Adam also admitted to being the primary disciplinarian of Chloe, which in his book meant physical abuse. This physical discipline to family and friends who had actually witnessed it was said to be frequent, excessive, and mostly stemming from the fact that Adam would get upset when Chloe had an accident. Adam believed that Chloe was only having accidents in her pants just to spite him. Yeah, because I'm sure she loves getting hit, Adam, you dummy. On the day in August that the pair claimed Chloe had jumped off the shelf and died, she had actually soiled herself earlier that day, but they insisted that that had nothing to do with the reason why she died. But I don't think I believe that, because Brittany afterwards said that her boyfriend Adam would spank or hit Chloe so hard sometimes that she had to step in to stop it. As if what they did to poor little Chloe wasn't bad enough, Brittany and Adam were also trying to plan a way to place the blame of Chloe's death on Alex, Brittany's ex-boyfriend. A search warrant was issued for the home that Chloe had last lived in with Brittany and Adam. It was a single wide trailer that was in a state of disrepair. And when police walked in, it smelled very strongly of urine and feces. Police also noticed that there was a padlock on Chloe's door. The floor throughout the trailer was torn, covered in dog urine and feces, and ripped in many places. But the floor in Chloe's room looked rather new. The detectives quickly realized that Chloe's floor had just recently been replaced. And when they pulled up the planking to look underneath, detectives discovered stains that were consistent with blood splatter when tested. Along with these discoveries, police also found multiple scales as well as paraphernalia related to drug trafficking. A 9mm handgun was also removed from the scene. Investigators believe that Adam had been running a heroin trafficking business out of the home where he lived with Brittany and Chloe. So in regards to the police's finds, Adam was given additional felony charges. He was charged with being a convicted felon in possession of a firearm, possession of marijuana, and heroin trafficking. Neighbors, as well as family of Brittany and Adam, claimed that the couple often fought loudly, and they both engaged in domestic violence. One neighbor said they had witnessed two rather large fights between the couple in both August and October. Adam also later admitted that during one particularly bad fight with Brittany, he fired his 9mm handgun into the ground. Now, come to find out, Adam had prior child abuse cases. On Christmas Day in 2009, he was charged with felony aggravated child abuse and neglect. He also received charges at the same time for assaulting a police officer and for attempting to run away when they tried to arrest him. And in the case, which was closed in 2010, Adam was convicted of felony assault against a child. And Brittany and Chloe's family would say that they never had any knowledge of Adam's awful criminal past. So many people wanted to know why Chloe's other relatives did not report her missing sooner. The thing was, Brittany had manipulated many of them into believing that Chloe was alive for months longer than she was. One thing that Brittany had done to fool her family weeks prior to Chloe's body being found was that she had texted Jessica asking for help getting Chloe's medical card because she needed to bring her into the doctor's to get some shots. Brittany had also recently told Jessica that she was in the process of looking for a new job. And when Jessica asked her what she was going to do with Chloe while she was at work, Brittany told her not to worry about it because there was already a plan in place for a neighbor to watch Chloe while she was working. Now, Jessica talked to Brittany almost every day, many days being just via text, but she had never suspected that anything was wrong. Police have not yet released a potential motive for Chloe's murder, and they will only say that Adam Hayes has a criminal record involving assaulting a child. So I'm assuming that just being an abusive asshole is the motive. Police investigation, however, is still ongoing, and they said there may be more arrests made. A preliminary hearing was held in Whitley County District Court on Monday, November 27th, for Brittany and Adam. The hearing was to determine if probable cause existed for a possible indictment. And the judge would end up ruling that there was probable cause. And then in December of 2023, they were both indicted before a grand jury on their charges. Also during this hearing on November 27th, the judge had agreed to reduce Brittany's bail from $500,000 down to $250,000. This was due to her lack of prior criminal history. The judge also dropped the marijuana possession charge against Adam. And as far as I was able to find, Chloe's family has yet to bring the little girl home for a proper burial and memorial service. Her body is still being examined, and they were told that it could take months. Gabby Manriquez, the 15-year-old older sister of Chloe, said about her little sister, "How could anyone do something like this to such a sweet, innocent baby? She didn't deserve any of this. My heart breaks more and more every day knowing I will never hear her voice again or see her precious little face again. All I needed was her company, and I would always feel okay." The heartbroken big sister went on to speak about the first time that she had met her baby sister Chloe, saying, "When I embraced her for the first time, she clutched my finger with her small hand and beamed with the most significant smile. On that day, I experienced the greatest happiness in a long while." Kentucky residents who lived close to the home where Chloe had once lived left a green and white polka dot cross, a miniature doll, a stuffed animal, and a ring of yellow roses in the wooded area known as Devil's Creek, where Chloe's body had been found. And a GoFundMe was set up to help the family cover the funeral costs for Chloe. Any additional money that is raised is to go towards transportation costs to help Chloe's seven other siblings attend her funeral. Well, thank you for listening to all of Chloe's story today. It seems like there was a pattern of abuse in little Chloe's life that nobody else seemed to notice. But we don't know if Brittany regularly hid her away or tried to hide her cuts and bruises with clothing. There are a lot of unanswered questions that I'm sure will be answered once this goes to trial. And Chloe just being discarded like trash and nobody finding out until months later is frustrating and incredibly sad. She deserved more from life. So if you do like true crime and you want to hear it from me, then don't forget to hit that subscribe button below and turn on those notifications too so you'll know when I upload a new video, which is 2 to 3 times every week. Thanks for watching A Wicked World today. Until next time, take care, guys. Bye. Thank you for being patrons of A Wicked World. Adina, Alana, Allie, Amanda, Amy, Angela, Angie, Brandy, Carrie, Catherine, and Cecilia, Celia Cruz, Claire, Danielle, Danny J, Drew, Eric, Frank, Georgia, Haley, Hanorama, Hannah, Jackie, Jen, Jennifer, Josie, Kara, Christy, MJ Kelly, Neoma, Nikki, Owen, Ray, Robin, Sharon, Starlit Sky, Lori, Marion, Mary, Mel, Mimi, Susan, Tamara, Tammy B, Tammy S, Tracy UK, and Whisper 216. You guys rock.
Now, there's even more of A Wicked World on Patreon. So check it out at patreon.com/awickedworld or use the Patreon app. You'll have access to exclusive videos each month and more. Any support truly helps to make sure the victims never get forgotten and to highlight the shortcomings of society associated with each case.
Do you have a suggestion for a case you'd like to see me cover? If so, send me an email at awickedworldtruecrime@gmail.com.